You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. Today, you are listening to a coaching episode. In these episodes, you get a little peek into what is normally a private space, my one-on-one coaching practice. This really gives you a glimpse into what it's like to be guided and held by me, and will hopefully leave you with some key aha moments. Everyone who is coached here in these episodes has consented to publicizing these sessions and remains anonymous for the sake of confidentiality. Hello, love. How are you doing today?
Hello. Really good. Thank you. What about you?
Good. Great. Excited to have this conversation.
Me too.
So I would love to start us off by just dropping us in together. And so just wherever you are, if you are in a chair or on the floor, just see if you can find something that you can lean back into. So just taking a moment to lean back into the back of your chair or the floor, a wall, whatever's accessible to you. And just take a deep breath into your belly. Feel it rise into your chest and then exhale and let it all go. With your next breath in, really start to feel the support of the surface that you're leaning into. And perhaps also the nourishing support of your breath as it fills you up. And also the beautiful releasing energy of your exhale, like, I have landed. And then we'll take one more together to really sink into each other, into the space and into our bodies. And if it feels good, just give yourself a little sound on your exhale. You can, of course. Beautiful. Okay. Just feeling the weight of your presence in the lower half of your body, in your hips, in your booty, in your thighs. Just feeling yourself deeply in your seat. And if it feels good, you can bring your hands onto your body if they're not there already, just somewhere that feels comforting, that feels relaxing, that feels connecting. And just from this place of feeling your own palms on your skin or feeling your clothes underneath your palms, I just want you to share with me a little bit about how you see and how you sense and how you feel the sexual and erotic nature of your being. Maybe there's a color, maybe there's like an animal that you connect to, maybe there's a persona, a particular archetype. And when you check in, I would love to just get introduced to who she is.
The first thing that comes to mind is like a serpent, a snake.
Well, isn't that sexy? Yes.
And the word that I saw in my head was muse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which it's interesting because like like serpent can be that. So
yeah. So, and what type of serpent do you see? Any like color, size? Where is it in nature at the moment? Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that.
I see a desert.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's Egypt because I can see the pyramids as well.
Oh, yes.
And it's black and quite big.
Yeah. So we've got this black serpent in Egypt in the desert, pyramids in the background, and it's slithering around. Yeah. Beautiful. So it's so funny. Halfway through me guiding you through this, I was like, wait a second. Before we pressed record, didn't we say we were going to talk about business? And I think it's not a coincidence, right? Nothing ever is. No. That the energy, like, it was like I completely blacked out on what we decided in our heads. And instantly I went into the erotic. And so I have a sense, I'm being like just guided a little bit through my intuition as to how the two are going to be connected. So I just thought it would be funny for everyone listening to just know a bit of context as to how the energy just took us there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when you said that, in my head, I was like, oh, interesting, but like not surprised.
Oh, okay. And so here's how I feel this might be woven in. I just believe that this symbol of the black serpent that has come through in this first question may be very connected to what we really wanted to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
And that was around the challenge that you are finding in this new chapter of your business's personality, your business's positioning, your business's ethos, your business's environment, right? Like there's mm-hmm. just something new that's coming through. And you were sharing with me before we pressed record that you're in that murky in between. Could you share a little bit more about the experience you're in currently and what's feeling super challenging?
Yes. So a few months ago, I started feeling really not like myself, like more depressed. I didn't want to do anything. So in parallel, my business went in the same way as I did. So it was like more of a blank. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have much energy to create something new, to call for new clients or anything like that. And it was a challenge because it's the first time in my life that I don't do anything, that I'm really in the surrender. And was the most like hard for me was that like my life has never been so great. Like there's nothing chaotic, which I grew up in a chaotic environment and I was in toxic relationships. Like my only relationships that I had in the past were toxic. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like with a conscious man. My life is really great. I'm doing great with my business as well and everything. Mm-hmm. But I felt like totally depressed and I didn't understand why. Well, now with time, I know that it's kind of the first time my nervous systems had the chance to actually rest for real.
Mm.
Where in the past, like I was probably more in a survival mode.
Yeah.
So with that said, it was hard for me to kind of do nothing, especially with my business, because prior to that, I was like spiritually, energetically, like I had a quantum leap. I was channeling so many things, being so intuitive and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went the other way all the way down. So the part that is harder now is that I'm feeling much better. Everything is integrating and making sense. But since I had a so big shift, like energetically and spiritually, it's like I feel I have so much to share, and from my life experience, from everything that I've learned in the past months, but I don't really know how to position myself, because the coach that I was is still me, but not completely. So yeah. I feel like there's so much more that I have to offer, but then it's the merging of the two, or mm-hmm. the new version of myself that I'm not sure, like, what direction to take with that in my mm-hmm. business.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the shedding of the old skin, does it feel complete? Or is it that your mind is going, okay, that's enough, let's get to it?
My body feels much better. Mm-hmm. My mind would love it to be completely done.
Yeah.
So, but I know it's in the process of, like mentally and emotionally, I'm much more energetic. I have much more energy, like inspiration, creativity. Mm-hmm. But like there are some days that I would wake up and feel like I was a few months ago. And then my mind is like, oh, not again. I thought we were over with this. Mm-hmm. So it's like a dance of like knowing that I'm in the upward motion, but yeah. like, it's not like a linear thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Mm. If you had to choose like one or two gems that you found during your time, your pause, what would you say this time gave you in terms of just, yeah, gifts?
You mean for my business or my life in general?
Isn't it the same thing?
Yes. I guess, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, it's actually the same thing. So the thing that came to mind first was authenticity. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I always put authenticity as a value, but I felt like I would hold myself back from going too deep too fast, like what I wanted to share, because I was like, yeah, maybe my niche is not interested about all of that, so I'm gonna stay like in this little corner and really go slowly instead of like owning anything that I have to share at any moment and being authentic as I do. So that would be the highlight for me.
Yeah. So a deep desire for authenticity and realizing that actually there was times where you were censoring yourself based on the assumption of what your people, your community would be interested in.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm.
Beautiful. So then who are you in your authentic beingness? What do you have to say that you weren't saying before?
I would say that actually be raw and vulnerable about all the toxicity I did go through in my life. Mm. And that there's a lot of in the spiritual community, there's a lot of like being your feminine energy and everything. And I was kind of promoting that part, but without actually going raw and vulnerable in what it takes to be able to get there, which is healing from the toxic masculinity and everything that I've experience in my life, which I had to heal and make peace with that part of me and my own masculine, because I through my journey I realized that it was just a reflection of myself. So I would say to be more vulnerable in that part.
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, just as a side note, from one coach to another who also is working in the similar realm, that's a really beautiful gift to offer the people who are in your community, your potential clients, your actual clients, right? Because mm-hmm. it's going to support them in their journey towards mm-hmm. authenticity even more. So I just think it's beautiful that that pause gave you that. And mm-hmm. I'm curious, what is it at this point? So you have you're super clear, it seems to me, that, okay, the gem during the pause was, you know, I actually haven't been as authentic as I could be. Mm-hmm. And here's how I could be more authentic. I could talk more about how hard it actually is to drop into your feminine and all the demons we have to slay in the process of surrender. Mm-hmm. And so you have clarity on these two pieces. So I'm curious, what is it now that's stopping you from being able to express and speak, write, voice, talk to this piece around toxicity?
I guess it's because my whole life, kind of the identity that I had, it was like to be nice, to be like the cute little girl, perfect, like that does no wrong and everything. Mm-hmm. And I've become really intolerable with some things. So it has been a process to kind of embody mm-hmm. and be more raw, direct, and like actually intransigent with certain behaviors, certain actions and everything. So when I sense it in the world and I have to kind of embody what I'm feeling, it's a big clash from what I used to be to now, that I'm scared that if I'm truly saying things as they come up, people will think that I'm uncompassionate or not really sensitive. When it comes up, it's more like Cali vibes, playing mm-hmm. demons.
mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Got it. All right. And this is where the serpent comes in as medicine, right?
Yeah.
I love this. The death of the good girl for the sake of love.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I hear you that there is a fear of the judgment that you will not be compassionate, that you are not sensitive enough, that you're not considerate enough, right? These pieces. And mm-hmm. so I'm hearing that there is a little bit of a push and pull in your system between the old way of doing things of like, be palatable, be a good girl, be nice, be sensitive, be very like feminine in a part. I say that in air quotes because that's only one type of feminine, and it's the feminine we've been sold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually the patriarchy in a costume, because that is not all there is to the feminine.
Yes.
Right? The feminine isn't just passive with rainbows and flower crowns and whatever else they have made trendy on Instagram. The feminine is the serpent. The feminine is the dark. The feminine is also the fierce love that's going to cut through bullshit for mm-hmm. the sake of something bigger. When she stands for the collective mm-hmm. and shit is not going well, she's going to say some shit about it, and she's going to growl. She's going to be messy. She's going to be ugly, but it's always for the sake of love.
Yes.
But this part of the feminine has been hidden, has been suppressed, and has been misunderstood. And so our journey in embracing the feminine is one of embracing the full range of the feminine. And so I'm really hearing that the serpent, which is also, you know, it's so beautiful the way that our erotic being is, you know, when we break down the word, I talk about this a lot, erotic, it's eros. Eros is life force. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Life force is the muse. Life force is inspiration, creativity, you know, birthing energy. And that's what our business, our mission, our purpose is here for, right? Like, we birth that shit into the world. And so, of course, the serpent is both your erotic energy and also is medicine here for you, mm-hmm. in your business. Like, oh, how can I embody the serpent as part, not the only face of the feminine, but as part of the feminine that's going to rise up now to start to speak to the stuff that's a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't have day without night.
Yes.
Right? We can't have the sun without the moon. Like, it's all connected in the polarity realm. And so how can we just be in the soft, surrendered feminine if we also don't have access to the growly, messy, take no shit, Kali-esque energy in all of us?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so the fear here is that people will judge you.
More so to hurt people than to be judged.
Ah, great. Okay. Yeah.
But of course, there's a little part of that. But like, you, my fear would be more like, as I take no bullshit, that I hurt the people I'm not taking the bullshit of, which is ironic. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a beautiful thing to be feeling, right? Because that actually means you're very compassionate. which then nullifies the other fear of judgment, that you're not compassionate.
Yeah.
So there's a fear that you may harm others.
Mm-hmm.
How do you imagine your words, your expression, your take no bullshit stance would harm others? Can you give me an example?
An example of the bastardy, or
an example of how you imagine it might harm others.
That's a good question. I guess if I think of situations that happen in the near past, it's more like sensing a friend or someone close to me is like stuck in a pattern, and like it's definitely having negative negative impact in their lives, whether it's like in their relationships or their own inner interaction with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like sometimes I can clearly see it, and I know that for the highest good of all would be to just tell them what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process of like, if I say it as it is, I'm scared that they would feel that I'm judging them or that I'm not compassionate, because there's other parts that explain why they're acting that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it's like, I know that saying it as it is would be a benefit for them, but it's always a push and pull, like you said before, like, I know it's for the highest good, but I'm scared that bringing the truth will make them suffer because they're not ready, or because all of the other stuff that my mind tells me.
Well, and are you referring to a particular incident that you're thinking about that has occurred?
Yeah, because it happens and not long ago, but I would say that it's pretty much the same loop I'm in other situations in general. But yeah, I have a specific example in mind.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine there's just some imprint from that particular scenario that is creating the fear of future scenarios.
Yes.
And how do you feel this would work when it's, you know, you speaking to not one particular person, right? Because you're referring to a scenario where you saw something in one person and you spoke about it, it wasn't received well. And so then it was like, oh shit, actually me speaking what I see can be harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But
the
then,
funny thing,
yes,
the funny thing is that in that example, it did end well, like it was received in part, but there was always a part of me that wouldn't say it as raw as it could be, mm-hmm. by fear of not being received well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'm ready to do it, but in the moment when it happens, and then, like, let's say the discussion is about to happen or it's happening, it's like there's a part of me that always pulls back a little bit of information or a little bit of what I would say or that comes to my mind in case of. Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how that translates for you in terms of your business, right? Like expressing to the collective, because in business, it's a little different. You either have clients, like if you're actually coaching a client, then they've given you consent, like they're truly paying you to speak to them about what they're seeing, or what you're seeing, I mean. And then when you're expressing, you know, on a blog post or Instagram or in a newsletter, like that's speaking to your entire community. And so I'm curious to hear a little bit more from you around how the two feel parallel.
I guess if I think about what I was saying before about the being more and more vulnerable about the harder parts of my life or the toxicity I experienced with the masculine, mm-hmm. I would say that I guess I would fear that because I'm saying it and I know it makes no sense, but
I
tell it as Razor is, mm-hmm. and they see me in that place, it's like it's gonna discredit what I am, or like, let's say the scenario that happens right now, it's like if I'm really vulnerable and people saw that on Instagram, they will think something of me that is not what I am now. And let's say they stop following me, or they stop themselves from buying a course or getting coaching with me. Like I'm thinking of all scenarios, but
yeah,
I would say, yeah, that the thing that would change the perception of who I am for real.
Mm-hmm. So we're back in the judgment fear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's sounding like as we go deeper into the exploration that there is this, it's this interesting combo of both not wanting to do harm and also not feeling harmed with the judgment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because someone not buying a course is going to harm your income, right? So mm-hmm. someone deciding to, let's say, unfollow you because they, based on the perceived judgment that you think they will have, is going, you know, is can affect you. It affects mm-hmm. your business. It affects how many potential clients you have, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Does that feel true?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so somehow authenticity, being myself, harms other and harms me. It removes love from the equation, or mm-hmm. it diminishes love if we're looking at it like just a little bit deeper.
Yes.
People feel less loved by me, and I will feel less loved by people because they don't buy my thing, they don't follow me, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously based on the perceived assumption that there will be that response, but that's what's going on for you inside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And now let's flip this on its head for a moment. Right, like, and let's look at how being yourself actually brings more love to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious, like, just share with me what comes up for you. In what ways do you believe that being yourself could bring more love to the world?
In what ways? Well, being myself, if I'm truly authentic, it would definitely bring love to the women that are in the same scenarios or relationship that I was before, and they feel like they're stuck there and there's no better option. Mm-hmm. And to show where I am today would be an inspiration, I guess, or a clear example that it's possible for them too.
Yeah.
And for sure, another way would be like, if I truly honor like the gifts that I have and that I stop like holding myself back, like the message or anything that I have to say would reach the right people that have to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So who do you serve?
Woman.
Okay. You want to be more specific a little? What type of woman?
Type of woman. I guess the ones that think that they have to suffer in order to feel love, mm-hmm. or to earn love.
Yeah.
Now that they have to shrink themselves and stop listening to their heart or their intuition, because it's more scarier to follow their heart than to be stuck in unconscious patterns, mm-hmm. of the mind.
Yeah. And those are the same women, it sounds like, that you said would really get you. They would understand these authentic shares.
Yeah.
And it would give them courage and inspiration to shift out of their unconscious, toxic relationships, patterns, stories, lifestyle, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So yes. If that's the woman that you serve and she's the one who gets you when you are being authentic, sounds like you're in a good spot.
Yeah, it's true.
And so perhaps there is, and we don't know, again, it's an assumption. Maybe there are a few people who go, I don't know about this. This is not for me. Right. And it might not even be a judgment. It's just like, oh, this is not my place anymore. You know, I'll give an example. I started off in my business as a health coach. My first iteration of my coaching practice was holistic health coaching. That's what I got certified in. First mm-hmm. couple of years, teaching people how to make smoothies and, you know, all that good stuff. And then slowly started to realize that I'm moving more into sensuality and embodiment as a way to help people eat for their unique bodies. And then over time, the nutrition piece went away and it was just about sensuality and embodiment, right? And so over the years, as my business's positioning changed, I lost a lot of people, followers, newsletter subscribers, right? Like people in my community, because they had initially come because they wanted to learn about smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, maybe they're like, oh, I don't care about sensuality, or that's just not my thing. And then some stayed because they're like, ooh, sensuality. Maybe that's what I need, right? And so it's a very normal part of our evolution in our coaching practices as we go deeper and deeper into what we actually are meant to do and Sometimes that's niching, sometimes not, right? But if we are getting more specific about the type of person we are actually here to support on a soul level, yes, of course people fall away. And it's not always from a place of judgment. It might just be a place of preference. Oh, this is not the type of topic that is for me. Like that's not what I'm working in this lifetime. It's not the support I need, or maybe it's not what I need at the moment. Right. Mm-hmm. So I share this because it's an inevitable part of repositioning, is that there will be people who fall away, but that's only because they're not actually the people you're meant to serve.
Of course. Yeah.
And so I'm curious what comes up for you, and if there's any like ifs, buts, okay, yeah, but that feels important to voice.
The only part of me that still comes back to the fear, I would say, it's like not even people that I would serve or clients, potential clients, but like people that know me from the past and that I have no contact with anymore, or like less. Mm-hmm. And that see me do that online.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the part, which is funny, because at the same time, like there's a bigger part of me that don't care, but it's like in the back of my mind of like, especially when it comes to spirituality and integrating all of this, is like the part of me that fears that people think that I'm crazy, or that like I lost this. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I can hear in the back of my mind quite often.
Yeah. And these are the people that you know cognitively, right? Like, are the ones whose opinions you care the least about.
Well, yeah, it's funny, because in the sense of like, I don't care, like consciously, but there's still something lingering, that when you were talking about that, it was clear to me that, yeah, of course, there's people that will not follow because it doesn't resonate with them. And that's fine, because I've done that too in the past, where there's people that I followed and their content is not aligned with me anymore. And I just unfollowing doesn't mean because there's something wrong with them. It's just my preferences have changed. So I can relate to that. But like, I could see those people looking at my things and like judging me.
Yeah. And so there's these two parts of you. There's the part that knows, like, oh, I don't actually, like, these are not people I look up to. They're not people whose opinions I respect. I don't actually need their approval. And of course, there's another part of you that's like, this is really edgy. I know, because I talk about this with so many of my coaching friends too, right? We're all like, oh, those high school people that we know who follow us. It's always so, so embarrassing. You're like, oh, they've probably seen me at my worst doing all sorts of weird shit. And now they're like, they're probably going, oh, she's a life coach, whatever. Right. So we all have those fears. I know exactly what you're talking about. And that comes from the younger version of ourselves, right? That comes from more of the nervous system response to belonging. Like, we want to belong. It's an attachment wound. It's an attachment need, because if we don't belong, and this is a very, and like, it's an ancestral a need that no longer is relevant in a modern day so much, but it's still like, it's still etched into our nervous system, right? Back in the day, if you got kicked out of the tribe, right? If you got kicked out of the village, you were on your own and you were going to get killed. You wouldn't be able to eat. You wouldn't be able to survive. And so that's still imprinted in us. And that's why we do things, even though another part of us is like, but that's not even me. And I don't even care. But there's a part of us that wants so badly to belong and to be accepted. And that's mm-hmm. where the fear of judgment comes from. Because if you are judged, then you could be ostracized. If you're ostracized and kicked out of the village, then you will die.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to hold on to love that way, to acceptance that way. And that's why we do everything to be a good girl, do everything to stay palatable. We do everything to be like not confrontational, and like, you know, the Kali energy doesn't care about getting kicked out. Mm-hmm. The Kali energy is like, I need to save the village. Forget about me. Right. And yeah. so we, of course, internally, we have this push and pull. And so when we think about, you know, old friends or acquaintances who still follow us on Facebook, it's like, and then we go, why do I care about the fact that they might have an opinion about this, which we have no way of like for sure knowing, unless they send us a DM that's horrible, right? Like, which probably most people don't do. So, but even if they did, it's like, why do we care? Oh, right. Can we be really compassionate with the younger version of ourselves that truly connects belonging and acceptance to survival?
Mm-hmm.
And then can we also give love to this part of ourselves through the adult, the queen, the leader in us that also encompasses a bit of Kali, but isn't only Kali, but the queen that runs your business, the queen that sees way past the childhood fears mm-hmm. and goes, okay, I see that there's a risk here. I see that I have fear around it. I'm going to tend to my little girl that's scared. And I'm still going to move forward because love is pulling me forward. And I know that ultimately me sharing these cringeworthy stories of authenticity, of things that I did that were toxic, silly, you know, that all sorts of judgments we have about our past behavior. But if I can share that and change the life of, you know, this many women, it's mm-hmm. worth it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's just about identifying when is it the little girl that's scared and when is it the queen? And taking yeah. care of both, making sure both needs are met because they're both equally important. But what often happens when we get stuck in our business, it's because our little girl, like there's something going on inside, there's a fear that keeps us stuck. There's a fear that has us go, I'm not ready to move forward. And so we just have to make sure she feels safe within our care.
Mm.
Like, I hear you. I see you. I understand why you're scared. And I got you. And we're still going to move forward. And if these fuckers come at us, I'm protecting you, right? But for her to feel like she's got someone defending her and protecting her, that's what she needs.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So is there any particular things as we're talking about this that come up that would help her feel safer? Your little girl.
I would say then, if being judged or being kicked out of the tribe, that is not my tribe anymore anyway.
Yeah.
Being kicked out means that I'm gonna have the chance to be included and attract or be in touch with people that are more of my tribe. Like, she's going to feel much safer to be around people that are in the same, that have the same motivations, that believe in the same things, that are ready to go deeper and all of those things that I want to do, mm-hmm. than to be scared to be kicked out of a tribe that I don't want to be in anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like taking... doing a little sacrifice, but for something much better where she will feel included and understood and seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm seeing like some sort of ritual And I think it's a ritual that's really just unique to you. So you get to design it. Mm-hmm. But where you're crowning your queen as a just the beginning, a ceremony into this next chapter of business, where you crown the queen that is ready to be authentic, even in the face of possibly a few daggers.
Mm-hmm.
And just feeling really connected to that as like the opening ceremony, as though you're opening the doors to your business again. And, you know, you can feel into when you're ready for that, because sometimes, you know, the pauses are a little longer than we think. That's mm-hmm. why I asked at the beginning, is your body ready? Is your mind just thinking, okay, that's enough, let's go. Mm-hmm. Because we're in such a world, right, that pressures us to get back up and go. There's never like a lot of space to just be. And so we have to always check in, like, wait, is it really time to go yet? And so having that be an opening ceremony in tandem with also a practice, a daily practice. So one is just a one-time ceremony with the queen, then a daily practice of connecting to your little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I feel like no matter what topic I'm coaching anyone on, it always comes back to, let's make sure there's the daily practice of connecting with your little girl. And that could be 10 seconds. Doesn't need to be long. It doesn't need to be complicated. You put your hands on your heart, you close your eyes, and you check in with her. You see her in your mind's eye. You see the 4-year-old, 5-year-old, you know, whatever age is really scared of that judgment. Like, you come back to like the most core, basic, essential version of you at a really young, tender, innocent age, and you love the shit out of her. So it could be as simple as like, I got you, right? Like, it doesn't have mm-hmm. to be just the energy. You don't even have to say it, but it's just that feeling of like, I'm holding you. I got you. I'm on your team, and I'm not going to let anyone fuck with you.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's a daily, and the reason why it's important for, it doesn't matter how long it is, but it's important that it be daily, is because you're building trust again with a part of you that possibly got abandoned for a while, or didn't have as much contact as she would have liked to, or, you know, just was over there feeling lonely in the corner, right? Mm-hmm. And she's just like, oh, I just want someone to like check in on me every day. Mm-hmm. And so if you're just checking in with her every day, then what happens is she doesn't run the business for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Then she can go and play in her little playroom during the day energetically while you're off. The queen is like, goes to the office, which could be under a tree. It doesn't have to be an actual office, but like, you know, energetically, she's off to do the adult stuff, and she's off to make the hard decisions and to say the hard things in, again, for the sake of love. Because mm-hmm. yeah, there are things right now in the world that are really messed up, and we need people talking to it.
Mm-hmm.
We need more people saying, what is going on with humanity? or let me tell you about me and all the things I don't want to tell you. Right. There's this, one of the first things I ever learned when I first got into personal development was this question: what I don't want you to know about me is. And that's so a good it's question. A great prompt. It's, I think it's authentic relating based. I'm not totally sure. Don't quote me on that, anyone who's listening, but I learned it as one of the first questions, and it's such an icebreaker. And so my invitation to you is, it may take a while to publish, or maybe you publish it tomorrow. I don't know, but I would give yourself that prompt and truly write it. Maybe it's just to your newsletter. Maybe it's not publicly on Instagram, like whatever feels like the smallest step in like showing your true self, but writing a post based on that. Go, all right, so I'm going to ask myself a question. What I don't want you to know about me is, and then mm-hmm. talk to your people.
That's a and great idea.
If nothing else, it's an exercise for yourself to be able to look down at the piece of paper and see what you wrote and go, oh, these are the things I don't want anyone to know about me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then working with that, ooh, what's to come from that? And maybe it's like you see all of that and then there's just pieces that you start to. So maybe that post in itself isn't a post publicly, but it's just for yourself as a journal entry. And then maybe you go, okay, ooh, baby step. Is that one piece feels like I can start to speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was coaching a client the other day on this story that I have to be fully expressed in order to be successful and in order to make money.
Mm.
And I was like, what are you talking about? We spend our entire lives working on being fully expressed. There's never a moment where it's like, okay, check, that's done. And so it's important for us to remember when we are on this journey of authenticity, of like killing the good girl, the facade, the part of us that is only a piece of us, but not all of us. Like when we're on that journey, we have to remember that it's a journey and that it's not like, okay, tomorrow's post is going to just say everything about everything to everyone. And like, and now I'm free, I'm authentic and it's done. No, because there's daily new things that you get to be authentic about. And there's also baby steps that one has to take to titrate their nervous system. Mm. Because if we have a lot of, let's say we have shame about, I'm just going to throw out like five different topics at the moment. Okay. So there's this one thing and this thing and this thing. Like, it's not about like a confessional, like, okay, I'm just going to say everything all at once. It may be that for 1 year, you start to speak about one shame point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then maybe a few years later, it's like, oh, now I'm going into this other shame point. Like we work this like a spiral in the feminine. We go deeper and deeper in the layers every year. Sometimes that same shame point, we have different journeys, right? Where we go deeper and deeper into that piece. And so I just say this as an invitation to not like get off this call and be like, I have to expose myself and say everything all at once. It's like, no, you get to just go at the pace that feels okay for your nervous system, while knowing that the more you tend to your little girl and you let her know that, you know, I got you, the more your queen will be able to address one thing at a time, not just for you and for the self-love and the freedom and the liberation that you will feel when you're more you, but also for the sake of the women who are going to go, oh my God, I'm in the same exact boat.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
And so that brings more love to the world. It brings more love to you internally, and it's going to bring more love to your community and to the people you're actually meant to serve. And from where I'm standing, at least with this layer, and I know that, you know, business is nuanced and complicated and there's a lot of pieces, but from where I'm standing from today's conversation, there's actually a lot of things that are very clear.
Mm-hmm.
What it is that you need to do, what stuff is stopping you, and who you need to be serving under what topic or in what theme, what conversation, what journey you're taking them on feels really clear to me.
Yeah, that's the thing I think that was stopping me, that I know it was clear because like in my heart, I know who I want to serve, but the bridge between being able to take action and talk from that place was really the little girl, I think, that was scared of many things. Like, I'm scared to do it and earn more money and then become someone else. And then all of the other stories that comes with success. But like, I can see that, like, she was running that part because in some part, I was afraid of being vulnerable and actually helping people, which would make me successful and then not belonging to the old tribe or the old, which that became really clear as you were talking.
Yeah.
And a lot about sharing who I am truly, because I can see that, like when I first became a coach too, I was more like in the mind with NLP and all of those things, which I still use, but there was the spiritual part and energetic part that wasn't there quite there as I am today. And it's that part that I'm scared to show, because then I really don't relate with.
Yeah. So you just brought in this like new layer of the fear of success.
Yeah.
Which is a whole nother coaching session for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But as we were talking about the little girl, I could see like the fear of judgment, but overall it's like I was stopping myself from going there, because as you said, it was clear to me that that was what I wanted to do in my heart, but it's like I couldn't feel, I know that it wasn't the time yet, because I was feeling that way for the past few months. Yeah. So like I knew, but there's a part of me that was asking myself is if I was stopping myself from something at the same time.
Yeah. And, you know, the other piece is that, as you were sharing at the very beginning, the context of, you know, everything used to be chaotic and tumultuous and toxic. And now actually things are so good, right? That you're in this like wonderful relationship, and just like everything was feeling a lot more peaceful than before. And somehow there was this interesting response in your body that you weren't expecting, right? Feeling a bit depressed and unclear and a bit lost and needing to pause, not feeling inspired. And that's often because, you know, when we learn to survive in chaotic environments, there's so much fuel that comes from fear and adrenaline and you know, survival, just survive, you know. And then when there's peace, we lose the fuel. We're like, wait, hold on, where, if I'm so used to adrenaline and survival energy coming through to help me, what do I do when everything is actually peaceful? Where do I source motivation? And so this pause to me is also like, again, moving from the nervous system adrenaline response to, again, the queen and the heart response, which is like love and actual muse energy. What do I actually want to do? Not because it's like what I need to do to survive, and not because I'm in a bad place and I need to be in a better place, but just for the sake of love, to serve, to help, to be, to create, right? And that's a very different energy, and it takes a while for us to shift gears into that. Right. And when, again, that's queen versus little girl. Yeah.
It all takes sense. Makes sense now.
Yeah. Great. So, okay. As we're closing for today, what's one step that you're going to walk away with and take from today's conversation? What's one thing you want to go ahead and do?
Definitely connect with my little girl more often and show her that she's taken care of.
Yeah.
But I would say that, of course, I'm gonna act on and take inspired action from the what thing I don't want you to know about me. And use that to use content on my platforms.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Beautiful work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. If this episode juiced you up, turned you on, and got you interested in private coaching with me, head on over to nadiamunla.com. The Work With Me page outlines everything. The time containers, the price points, who I work with, and so on and so forth. And if you still have questions after that, you can email us at info@nadiamunla.com to inquire about applications or anything else that was not answered on the page. And then when I receive your application, if I feel like we're a fit, we always hop on an exploration call before we commit to anything. And this to me is like going on a date, going on a coaching date. And we do that in order to really confirm that this is a relationship we both want to enter into for a period of time. We get clear on what it is that I can support you with, whether I am the best person to support you, and how we will do so. So if this is you, I can't wait to get your application and hop on the phone with you soon.
I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram @NadiaMunla.